Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Good afternoon, I'm Damien O'Reilly and this is Liveline. You can text 51551. Teresa, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Damien.
Thanks for contacting us. Now, don't identify the school or don't even say roughly where you are because you'll get us all in an awful lot more trouble than it would actually be worth if we start rumours and all of that. But you've contacted us because you've children in a school and you feel that the school is not handling a particular situation well. What is it, Teresa?
I feel the school and the HSC. It's a secondary school. There are over 800 students in it, and a child was away last weekend on a family holiday in northern Italy. He returned back, and going on the advice of the HSC guidelines, the school has been in touch with the HSC, and the advice they were given was that the child, because at this stage he doesn't have the coronavirus, so he should return straight away to school. And only if he becomes unwell, then to go into isolation. So, and I'm extremely upset because there's a 14-day incubation period which they haven't taken into consideration. He could easily be carrying it. And he was due to go back there this morning. And a lot of parents extremely upset. I've been listening to people crying this morning and telling me how worried they were. They're teenagers, and I asked in the last desperate attempt to do something about this because I've been trying a lot of things in the last few days to raise attention to it.
So they, we're now
to appeal to them.
We're now Wednesday, and this individual now arrived
back on. He came back, yes, but the headmistress of the school, the principal, she advised the child and the parents that if he wanted to, he could take 2 days off from school just for his own peace of mind. Now, as we all know, 2 days is an insignificant amount of time for this because there's a 14-day duration at least whereby he could start to show symptoms. And he took the 2 days. And I had that time, that 2 days that I knew about this, because first of all, I received a text through the school. All the parents got the same text saying that there's a rumour going around that a child from the school has the coronavirus. He doesn't have it, and we want to quash that rumour. And we are going by the guidelines from the HSC, and we would like for him to be able to return to the school and for everybody to just remain peaceful and quiet and go about our business.
Isn't that not a sensible approach?
No, in my opinion it isn't, because he hasn't been through that 14-day duration where something could show itself.
But I understand, Teresa, and you know, we're all experts now on coronavirus and every one of us has an opinion on it. You're talking there with the HSE. These are people that are qualified. These are people that are in daily touch with the World Health Organization. These are the people that are paid to do what they do. You and I are not medics. How is it that, I don't mean this in a smart sort of way, but how is it that you think you know more than the medical experts that are giving advice here?
I'm not a medical expert, but we have been told that you could be carrying it. If you come in contact with somebody with it, you could be a carrier of it. And there's an incubation period of 14 days.
But so you see, that's the that's the HSE and the WHO that are telling us this, okay? And that's how you up until 2 weeks ago, and me and all of our listeners up until 2 weeks ago, it's only in the last 2 weeks that we have discovered this about the 14-day incubation period. Maybe only in the last week have we discovered this about the 14-day incubation period. But the people that have told us that are the WHO and the HSE and other medical experts. And these are the same experts that are telling the school no problem. That pupil is fine to go to school. So if we, if on the one hand, Tracy, you're citing their advice with regards to the 14-day incubation, why will you not cite the advice that's been given to the school in this instance as well and accept it and allow, you know, this young man in particular, or a young girl, I'm not sure, as a boy, don't say, please, and his or her family, who are now probably going to feel a little bit, if people are crying, as you said, about this, if parents are crying about the situation. I think that's, maybe I'm wrong, maybe listeners will disagree, but that seems to be a little bit unfair when the only crime involved here, and it's not a crime, but in the eyes of some of the parents that are crying down there, wherever you are in the country, this person was away on holidays, innocently.
Yes. I feel very sorry for this child. I think for this child's sake, in actual fact, that he probably would have been better.
He or she. He or she. Don't identify. Yeah.
This
go on.
Child.
Yes.
Sorry. I think that it would be better that if this child were to have been left, go through that 14 days first of all at home, to see if by any chance he shows any of the symptoms. If he now shows them while he's in school, it's putting a huge amount of children, the teachers, their families, at risk. And why take the chance for one child in an entire school, if there's even a slight question mark over it? Why take a chance on it? Our hospitals are absolutely packed to the seams, and we can't facilitate huge amounts of people if this kicks off.
Well,
I'm not a medic, I'm a mother, and if it was my children and if I had returned home from a holiday in Italy,
I know that, but that's you. But don't, you know, start pointing fingers or putting an onus on and pressure on the parents, whom I'm sure are more worried than you are, because they were in Italy.
In my opinion, I think the HSC is being too lackadaisical about this. There hasn't even, the day before this text came out, I actually got in touch with the school on a different issue, a hygiene issue. There wasn't any soap or sanitisation tissue for the children just to simply wash their hands in the school.
But the reason
my son came home and said the only thing that they have to try and stay safe from this virus is to be told that they have to just, you know, keep washing their hands and hygiene.
Well, Teresa, if you're so concerned about this, and you know, you don't agree with the Department of Education / HSE guidelines in relation to this incident, well, you're within your right then, if you're so concerned,
yes,
to take your children out of school for 2 weeks, can't you?
Yes, and I thought about that, but when you do that, if this child does come down with it over the next 2 weeks, God forbid, and I really hope that he doesn't, and I wish no harm on him or his family.
Sure, I know
but
that.
But if he does come down with this over the next 2 weeks, there will be the children, their friends, everyone will already have been exposed to it in the school. I don't see the benefit of me keeping just my children out by themselves. Surely the child who potentially could have, he was in northern Italy, came home on an aeroplane, you know, even if he was at the top of a mountain, isolated by himself, far away from the village or villages where this
is. Yes, but do you not think though, Teresa, with all due respect, that a lot of what you're talking about here is based on ifs and buts and a little bit of hearsay? I'm sure the people concerned here have bent over backwards to try and make sure that they are doing the right thing and not acting irresponsibly here. And they have probably spoken to the people that matter here, which are obviously the medical experts, and assured them that they're okay to continue with their life. Just because they came from northern Italy, I know it's an infected area, and we are being advised, of course, by the government not to go to that part of the world on non-essential trips and all of that. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, my point is that we run the risk of losing the run of ourselves a little bit here, that we need a little bit of perspective. The country needs to continue to function. Families need to be able to get on with their lives. Children have to be minded if schools are closed, and so on and so forth. We still only have two cases here.
Yes, but the two cases we have returned from Italy, northern Italy, and that's specifically where this child has returned from. Yeah. And I think if it does, and I hope and I pray that it doesn't, but if this does turn out to be a more serious issue in this school, the damage will have been done. Mm. And I have to ask, is it worth it? Is it really worth putting the whole entire school at risk for the sake of a 2-week duration and keeping the damage control on, you know?
So do you think that the government should restrict flights from northern Italy? People say, for example, this weekend, although the rugby match is off, a lot of fans probably have paid for their flights, hotels, and are going to continue anyway. They won't have the match, but they'll have lovely Ireland or Dublin to look around, and they're continuing on. We might say, well, you know, no flights from northern Italy should be allowed in here until further notice. But what about people that are there on holidays and that have to come home to work or come home to mind loved ones or come home to go to school or whatever like that? Are we telling them stay there?
No, of course not. Absolutely not. I think, though, when in a situation like this, when one child, it's not even a huge amount of classes that have gone off on a school tour, it's just one child in a very badly affected area returns back. I think that there should be much more caution about it.
All right, I want to bring in...
I think to say to go straight back in without giving it a chance, just give it that 2 weeks. And I know you cut me off and you didn't want me to talk in a personal way about myself and my opinion or anything like that.
No, I didn't. I didn't want to. I just
I
was
do
saying...
I feel that I'm just saying, Tracy,
I will let you finish. But the point I was making was, on the one hand, you're saying...
And it were my own children, I would be very comfortable with that idea because I myself wouldn't want to put anybody else in jeopardy.
And there's no suggestion. There's no suggestion.
I think it's not taking enough precautions. I think it's just too lackadaisical, and that's how I feel about it.
No, I'm not. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just asking you. You're here quoting the 14-day, right? Now you heard about that 14-day from the WHO and the HSE. That's how you heard about it. That's how we all heard about it because we're all learning. That is how you heard about it. It was medical experts that said to you via the media or whatever way you picked it up, 14-day incubation period. Now it's the same medical experts that are in this instance saying there is no problem and that this child should be allowed to go to school. So on the one hand, you're taking one part of medical evidence and saying that should apply, but the other advice is irrelevant and wrong. You know, if we're going to listen to the medical experts and the HSE and the WHO and quote parts of what they're saying and parts of their advice, well, why can't we quote the other parts?
I don't agree with it.
Right.
And I feel I'm perfectly entitled to my opinion.
Of course.
And I'm not the only person who feels this way. Yeah, There's an awful lot of parents there this morning and they are extremely upset and have been over the last few days.
Well, Jerry in Cork is on the line and he agrees with you. Jerry, go ahead. 51551.
Yeah, I'd just like to support that lady because I think she's absolutely on the ball and correct in what she's just said. I think the incubation period should be taken a lot more seriously than is currently the case.
The Department of Education say public health officials have confirmed that no school has been closed as part of the ongoing contact tracing process regarding the second confirmed case of COVID-19. I'm reading this out just to put it out there as well in the context of what we're talking about, because there are an awful lot of schools, as we know, around the country where individuals or classes have returned from this area. So I'll just go on to quote the rest of it. It is essential that any decision regarding school closures in relation to COVID-19 are proportionate, necessary and based on specific public health advice. No other response is appropriate. Jerry.
What does that mean? If they've come back from a red area in the middle of Italy, everyone is a possible carrier for 14 days. End of story.
So why do
the fact.
And why do you think the HSE would want, you know, those people to spread the disease around the country?
Well, maybe it's them you should have on the other end of the phone with respect instead of this other lady who I think has a perfectly valid point, and there's a lot of people thinking that way.
The Department of Health and Education are in constant communication regarding Ireland's responsiveness to COVID-19. The Department of Education and Skills has been in contact with one school which closed to pupils today. That school will reopen tomorrow. So what they're saying is that they're happy enough they're on top of all of this.
That lady's just made the point, and I'm saying that there's a lot of other people saying exactly the same as her who haven't been on air, who have had kids come back from Italian trips, some of whom I do know, and that the response has been... you're talking about a blank pistol here, a loaded gun, because, as the lady said, what happens if that child does have the virus in the next 5 days? Look at the other side of that coin. That's the problem.
Yes, exactly. That's how I feel too.
Exactly.
So do you?
And it can happen. It can happen. And if it happens down my neck of the woods, and I won't mention where it is.
Yeah.
If it happens down my neck of the woods,
pardon me for interrupting you there.
It's going to be a huge crisis here.
Sorry, can I just suggest you get someone?
Because our local hospital is in a terrible state. And my 95-year-old mother-in-law collapsed 2 weeks ago. 95 years of age. And she was on a trolley for 3 days. We have no cardiac facilities whatsoever down here on the weekends. We have to go by ambulance to Cork. If someone has a heart attack on the weekend, we have to go by ambulance or helicopter to Cork.
Jerry, you want to...
Our facilities down here wouldn't be able to cope with a massive outbreak of this. And I think it's really irresponsible to be given this advice to the school that it's okay for a child to just get off the aeroplane and go straight back in after being in a very dangerous location where this is an outbreak.
Absolutely.
I think it's outrageous. I think that what's the point in trying to resolve the problem then when it's so easy to do something about it in advance?
Absolutely. That would be the logical, rational thing to anyone that's looking at this discussion. I think this is a question for the authorities. I think they do need to answer this on your programme before the end of business today.
But do you not think at this point in time, Jerry, that we're doing well in terms of containing...
The nature of this virus is that nobody knows who's doing well or not. As you quoted yourself or someone else there in the news at one, look at the two cases in Italy and look where it snowballed to. Nobody knows where this is going to go. That's the reality of it.
But are we right to be comparing ourselves to Northern Italy, which is a holiday destination at this time of the year, with far more dense collection of people in that one area than here? Or are we right to be looking at, you know, citing that as a good example or a good comparison? In other words, we have two cases here. We have three on the island. Now, thank God that lady from Northern Ireland that came through Dublin and went north last week. So far, we would have heard about it. There's been no... And she would have been in contact with a lot of people. I know it's only a week or maybe less that she was diagnosed with it, but still, she was in touch with an awful lot of people and flew in an aeroplane with them, and we haven't heard of anybody else showing symptoms yet. I don't know, are we too early to be optimistic about that?
I can't take on the responsibility, of the whole entire country. I am an ordinary mother of four children, and I'm trying to protect my own children and their loved ones and their friends to the best of my ability.
Sure, I know.
And I felt this morning as if I was being completely violated, sending my children into what I feel is a potentially dangerous situation.
And I
think our onus in this country needs to be on prevention. And I think that's our biggest strength, because we have a huge, huge weakness in our health service.
And Teresa,
I feel that we won't be able to cope.
And the more we can do
to prevent it, if it does mean keeping one child out for 2 weeks just to see does he come up with the symptoms, I think that would be the sensible thing to do. And why take a chance on putting all those students and their siblings, the adjoining schools, the country schools, all the schools all around the primary schools, they all have brothers and sisters.
And how do the students themselves, like your children, are they concerned?
The children are very upset, and I actually suggested, when I got the text, I suggested to the principal of the school, were they offering any kind of counselling? Not entirely about this issue per se, but the whole topic of the coronavirus. It must be absolutely horrendous now to be a teenager with having this to emotionally deal with it. And the fear, they're all watching television, they're exposed to everything. They've seen it all. They've seen the programmes coming in from China on the news and body bags, zips being pulled up, people completely covered from head to toe wearing protective. It looks so frightening and so daunting.
Yeah.
And they have to deal with that somehow.
Okay, 515.
But sending even for children, yeah. The children confronted one of the teachers and told one of the teachers in school that they were really frightened about this virus, and they know about a child coming back and that he has been in northern Italy where they can see it on the news that this is an area
we know, Teresa, as well, unfortunately, the way an awful lot of teenagers nowadays consume their news, and it's not necessarily from very reputable sources, as we do know.
It's on the RTE. The RTE news. How can you say that's not a reputable source?
Of course, it's reputable, but there are a lot
of conspiracy. Not just the media.
But body bags and all of that, I think, is a little. You know, we do know.
BBC, RTE.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
But I'm saying a lot
every
of
every time the news flashes on, you can see them.
But that's you. That, yeah, but you're talking about teenagers there being scared from what they're seeing coming from China. I'm saying an awful lot of teenagers they
it's
consume their news
China.
In a different way.
So our teenagers in this country are highly educated.
I know. Will you stop picking up on every little thing like that, Teresa? I know that. And I get. And do you know what I detect in your voice as well is of a caring, worried mother, like so many parents all over the country. There's no doubting that whatsoever. But what I'm trying to do here is just be fair as well in that. You know, we have the HSE telling us. Who else do we adhere to in relation to this? Except the experts. I want to bring David in here in Wicklow. Stay with me. 51551. David, go ahead.
How you doing, Damien? I called you because I think that really caught me was Teresa talking about parents crying outside the school today.
No, not outside the school. Sorry, not outside the school.
Okay.
They've been on the phone with me crying and explaining how they feel and expressing themselves to me.
Well,
I'm
a parent of teenagers where there has been a trip, an expensive trip. My kids didn't go on it, but they went to Italy skiing. Nothing has come of it. Obviously, 2 weeks has passed at this stage. But I think there's a level of hysteria. You're talking about the media and all provoking the hysteria. I think parents should be giving some balance to their children on the whole thing, not adding to the hysteria. I think those parents who are crying are the ones who actually need to have a look at themselves.
Yeah, but they're concerned because they're concerned when they hear that.
A lot of these,
I know that, David, but a lot of parents have parents themselves who may be the most vulnerable of all. And we know who are the most vulnerable at all. The rest of us might get coronavirus or COVID-19 and we'll get mild symptoms and we're fine.
Yeah.
But this
is
the worry, and that's why parents are so worried, not necessarily about their teenagers who'll fight it off, no problem, but it's about more vulnerable members of family members whose lives are as equal to...
I have a mother who's 86 in a nursing home. I go and visit her. I wouldn't, for the life of me, try threaten her knowingly.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the level of hysteria. It's just there's no balance in these sorts of discussions, I don't think. And I do blame the media to a large extent for the hysteria that's sort of surrounding the whole thing. Top of the news every evening. As Teresa said, people in these jumpsuits and masks and all the rest of it.
Well, that's your opinion.
It's panic buying. And I think...
But blaming the media. The media will give you the facts and we'll air the comments of the minister, we'll air the comments of the experts, we'll bring them on programmes, ask them the questions that we think everybody else... Now, it's up to you to decide whether they're...
It's top of the news on RTE every evening. We've two cases. I think that's a little bit OTT and it's stirring up the hysteria.
What's the bigger issue in this country at the moment?
What's the bigger issue? Forming government. There's lots of other stuff going on in this country. Brexit, I could go on.
That's more important than trying to contain the coronavirus.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be top of the news every evening.
Teresa?
Well, I think that Ireland has a right, the Irish people have a right to know what we have to try and deal with here. And I think sticking our head down in the sand and just talking
about trivia is not the answer.
I think it's important that we are aware of it so that we can prevent it. Prevention.
But Teresa, do you think that parents of children in a school that where there hasn't been any case and there is nothing right now for anybody identifiable to put their finger on, nothing
well,
positive.
Well, actually, there is something test. Identifiable.
Parents crying, parents been reduced to tears. Do you not think that that is representative of the overreaction that has been generally to do with this? There hasn't been any case.
I think that we feel really downhearted that this is the advice that's been given to the schools. We feel that there should have been a 2-week duration, a time where that child was kept away from the school to see would something materialise. This child was in a very dangerous area in the north of Italy.
Yeah.
There are cases popping up now. I just heard on the Pat Kenny show there the other morning, he was interviewing someone and he said that in Italy it's spreading at a hell of a speed, much faster than anywhere else.
Well, they're actually proposing, Tracy, you might have heard there, to close all schools and universities right across the country. Now, I don't know, has that actually happened yet or whether they're considering it? Do you think that would be a good move? Would that be reassuring?
I don't think you can be over dramatic about taking action in a case like this. I really don't. I think if we have to close schools,
if we want to keep our teenagers calm, we need to be calm.
Yes,
we need to be calm. We need to be balanced.
How can you expect teenagers to be calm when they know that one child is returning into the school who's just come out of Northern Italy at the moment? Without being instructed by the HSC or the school, could he take some time out, just a little time, a couple of weeks, just to see?
We still have a percentage of people. There is a percentage possibility, and I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's not. It's certainly not in a large figure that this child might have contracted it. It's balance. When kids are anxious about something, it's up to parents to try and provide the balance, not add to hysteria.
OK, I want to bring Elizabeth in here. Stay with us there, Teresa and David, 51551. Teresa, you're listening to our discussion. Go ahead with your point.
Damien, I've been listening there and I would like to say that I agree totally with Teresa. I think that... a stitch in time saves nine attitude should be taken here. For the sake of one person, we have two now. We know one, what the situation is with one. But with the other one, if they self-isolated, it would save people that the possibility of maybe being infected. It states on the HSE website, because I've checked it, that it is not known if the virus is contagious during the 14-day incubation period. So while you are incubating the virus, it is not known whether I can catch it from you or not. So in that situation, I just think, isn't it safer in order that our trolleys that are already over full are not going to be even fuller, or incubation rooms or whatever.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, that as long as you're incubating it without showing symptoms, it's not known whether during that period before it manifests itself in the form of, sore throat or whatever, whether or not it's only at that point that you're actually are suddenly become infectious to somebody else or not.
Yes, they state that on their own website, which is from the HSC, which is a site that they direct you to go to. And if that is the case and it is not known, then as far as I am concerned, then anyone that comes back from a red region, like into the country, should be, it should be imperative that they would be, I don't know how you would do it, but I mean, just as an ordinary human being, that they should isolate themselves. I mean, if I flew into the country, I think that I would have the wherewithal to isolate myself so that I am not going to infect anyone in case I am a carrier of it. And it is not known whether I can make someone infected or not.
OK, so a bit of self-discipline is what we need.
It is. And I mean, you know, this weekend now there's going to be people coming in from Italy for the match. And under no circumstances would I be in a pub or anywhere, a restaurant, a hotel, anywhere where I would take the risk of actually catching that, because I have family members who have immune problems, you know, they're immune deficient, and I am not willing to take the risk.
And some of my close friends who have children in the school where this child has returned to this morning, one in particular was born with a very serious heart condition, a cardiac baby, and was only a few weeks old when he had his first major heart surgery. And his older brother is in this school, along with lots of other children with all sorts of breathing trouble. My own son has asthma, all sorts of this. We have cancer, we have all sorts of things in the parish.
Okay.
But you have people coming in from skiing trips who know they've been in this area, you know, people from business, whatever, holidays, whatever. They're catching flights. They may not have it, but they're on flights with people who may carry it. They do not know, can they catch it? I think anyone that's coming in from the area into the country should be literally screened and advised. If they're not self-willing to do it, there should be something in order going wider, you know?
David, and then I'll take a break. And Hazel's there, and Teresa, I want you to stay. David,
I think Hazel's probably, if I'd been Elizabeth. The child that came back into the country, I would have isolated them for a
OK, well,
weeks.
Then you're in agreement with Teresa in
no,
that regard.
No, it's actually, that's a calm response. It's more the hysteria I'm trying to make the point about, is that I feel people crying on the phone and so on at this point is...
No, they weren't.
I mean, I would have to say at the moment...
friends,
you know,
who were relaying their fears to me and their concerns.
Right, yeah.
But I would have to... I would, from the school... who are deeply upset.
Okay. Will you stay?
I have to agree.
We all love our children.
Yeah. Okay.
Damien, I have to agree that if I was in a situation where I have a child in a school, now I'm not, I'm past that, right? But if I had a child in a school, or if I'm self-employed, if I had somebody who I'm working with on a one-to-one basis, and they say to me, oh, by the way, I was in Italy last week, I tell you, my antennas up and I would immediately go, where were you?
Okay.
What area were
you
in?
Stay there.
I do not want...
I'll come back to you, Teresa and Elizabeth and David, and Hazel is there as well. I'll be back after this. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I see Sky reporting that Lufthansa said they're grounding the equivalent of 150 aircraft due to the coronavirus. It's just on the news banner at the bottom. No more details that I have on that. But that's interesting in itself at this point in time. And the UK is now 85 cases in the UK. So that's gone up from the last couple of days as well. Sean is in Dublin. Good afternoon, Sean. You're listening to Teresa there.
Yeah. I have to say that I totally agree with Teresa's opinions on the subject.
Now, your children are in the same... Again, just to be clear, for obvious reasons, just don't identify where you are, where the school is or anything, but go ahead.
Yeah, I have a child in the same school, I'm sure. And I think my child has an underlying health problem, and I would be a little put out as far as putting my child into school... while there is a child attending the school that has come back from someplace in northern Italy that may be a red zone, you know.
So you're erring on the side of real caution there, obviously.
Well, if it was your child, what do you do, you know?
Well, especially if they have an underlying condition.
Yeah, of course. And I think the only path left to me is to make sure that my child doesn't attend that school for maybe the next 10 or 14 days and to see if anything develops with the unfortunate child.
When did you take the child out, your child?
As soon as we got the text from the school.
And what was the reaction to the school? Because you obviously informed them you were going to do this.
Yeah, of course. Look, it's a tough situation for everybody. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody wants anything to... go adversely, you know. We don't want any children to get infected, and we do hope and pray that the child that has been in northern Italy doesn't get affected.
And who we have to say is, again, just to reiterate, totally and utterly innocent of any...
Absolutely.
Isn't that, absolutely. That's key, Tracy. Yeah.
We were all feeling it for him as well, as mothers.
Yeah, sure.
Because I could just imagine, I couldn't imagine, I should say, sending one of my children in, knowing that the whole school has been talking about this.
Exactly, and as I said...
And how he must be feeling.
Yeah, and I hope there is...
knowing that children are afraid maybe to come up near him or in case... Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's an important point you make there, Teresa, and I do hope that in this instance that child you're talking about is getting the support and care and that the other students are being it's been explained to them exactly, you know, the situation here and that there was... that it's just a circumstance that the person finds themselves in, and it's not doing anything on purpose. Good.
Absolutely know that.
Good.
No child is blaming.
Sure, that's important. You agree with that, Sean?
They are looking to...
I do. I think it's really important.
They're looking to adults, and they themselves, these intelligent thinking teenagers, are thinking for themselves, and they're asking the question as well, why isn't he just staying off for 2 weeks in that incubation period, just in case he has it? They're asking the same, why is he taking a chance? Not him personally, but why is he being made to take this chance? Why is this the advice given?
Okay, I want to bring Jack in, 51551. Jack, go ahead. Good afternoon.
Hi, Damien. Yeah, I've just listened to Teresa and the rest of the speakers. I'm in my 70s, and all I can say to you, I'm a past student of a boarding school, and there's no issue here, as far as I'm concerned. If a student has been in the red zone area, he just goes into isolation, and anyone he's been in contact with has to automatically.
Yeah, and that's the feeling, obviously, of concerned parents. But we're taking the advice here of the HSE. By doing this, we're going against their advice. Or are they going against their own advice? I don't know. I'm confused. I'm as confused as everybody.
Teresa, if I may finish, please. In my experience of life, sometimes people are wrong. I've been wrong a few times in my decision on certain things and my opinions. I think the HSE are incorrect. They're wrong.
I agree entirely. I completely agree with that. I think they've made a huge mistake.
It's unprecedented. It's unprecedented. And, I mean, the country is nervous as a whole. Parents are going to be nervous. I just think that the HSE telling people, look, it's okay, wait and see if something develops, is definitely the wrong action. We need to err on the side of caution. We need to be more careful, and then we can deal with things as they develop. But let's start off being cautious.
And Sean, have you ever found yourself in a position before, we'll say, with an outbreak of measles locally or other, you know, flus or epidemics or sicknesses in the school that you've had to, because your child has this underlying condition, you have to be extra careful, I suppose, do you? Or have you found yourself in this situation before?
No, look, I don't think outbreaks and things like that. I mean, my child's immune system is slightly compromised, so he needs to look after himself. We need to look after him as parents. But
if there was an outbreak of measles in the school, or you heard about a child that had the measles, which is very virulent, as we know as well, you know, does that automatically send the antenna up for you in terms of
really? No, I mean, at this stage, kids are immunized against most of these things,
right? But
you know, the trouble here is this is unprecedented, it's not seen before. It's something that the HSE and the WHO don't really have their two hands on at the moment. So, while things are up in the air and while they don't exactly know what exactly to do, we need to be more cautious.
Well, Jack, can I just come back? I mean, my confusion, the same as everybody else's, manifested itself in the form of seemingly to be arguing with Teresa. I'm trying to make the point that on the one hand, we are all here now citing, we're all experts about the 14-day incubation, and we know all, and everybody says that's the way to go. But that's information we got from the HSE, and that's what we're citing now as the sensible route to take. Incubate for 14 days. 2-3 weeks ago, we knew nothing about the incubation period, but now we're all experts on it, including myself. So we're quoting that on the one hand, and from the same set of experts telling us that this is okay. So if we're adhering to the 14-day, if we're taking taken that as gospel. Well, why not take as gospel their advice that in this instance everything's okay, let life continue?
Common sense, though.
Common sense. That's what I sent in my text.
Common sense.
That's the word. They're the words I use in my text. Common sense, and it's not there now.
Yeah. So they're contradicting themselves by saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Common sense.
Yeah, Hazel is there in the line, 51551. Jack, thanks for that. Go ahead, Hazel.
Hi, Damien. How are you?
Good.
Firstly, I just want to say, would the school have to be closed in the east if the families had have all self-isolated?
You're talking about the first school?
Yeah, the first school. That wouldn't have to have been closed if those people who were skiing all self-isolated in the first place.
Well, it was only one pupil. It wasn't a skiing holiday. It was one pupil
so
showed the symptom.
Yeah, so had he self-isolated from the minute he came back from Dublin Airport,
yes,
the school would not have to be. So that's why I'm not following the advice of the HSE. I'll tell you my situation. My kids go to a small rural school of approximately 100 pupils.
Mm-hmm.
A family came back skiing and were unofficially asked could they self-isolate, which they didn't. And now there's approximately 10 or 12 families that have pulled their children from the school, including myself, that just don't want to take the chance. Mm. I mean, it's a small school. They're all well within 1 metre apart from each other. So if they are incubating, it's going to spread. What's in the back of my head is, will my local school be on the news next week, shut down?
And me. That's my biggest fear right now.
And we heard.
I hesitated this morning sending my children out, they're teenagers, and I put it to them, would they consider just even give me one more day? Just it's only a half day today, and I thought, could they just stay out for one more day, and I'll just see if I can raise some awareness and try and do something about this.
So Teresa,
and they adamantly said no, because I think the school themselves are trying to encourage the children just to carry on as
well,
normal.
The school are kind of hands are tied because they have to follow the Department of Education
HSE. That's correct.
But who's to say that small groups of parents or the parents committee or the board of management could unofficially advise
families that if they are in facilitate a meeting for us either. The school didn't facilitate any meeting regarding this. I think they sent out a text last night to say something along the lines of there might be a meeting coming up sometime in 2 weeks' time, which is, you know.
And Hazel, have you spoken to parents of children that have come back? Right, but the ones that came back from the skiing trip, what?
No, I know. No. There's no contact there, no. But I know I've known of parents that have, and they're just not self-isolating. So they've gone against the wishes of
the majority.
I don't know if it's of the school, but there's definitely an unease now within the school with some families who are deciding to self-isolate and then some families who are allowing the children go to school. So it just has an effect even outside of school.
Well, you see,
my neighbours are going to school.
That's correct.
And
yes.
Now I'm saying to my children, they're not allowed to play with the neighbours because they're going to school. So they're continuing.
Right.
And it totally defeats the purpose of me self-isolating my children if I'm going to let them go out and play with the kids that are going to school. So it just has
a
ripple effect.
One of my children has a birthday today and he's invited a few of his friends back. If I had kept my child out of that school today, these kids have been in there anyway. And if my child goes to anything social, any of my children, they're going to be in the company of children that are in the school.
So how long is
it? For me to take my children out, that's not going to solve this problem. I did consider it, and then I thought, well, what good would it do?
Yeah. Where is this going to end?
You see, in Italy, the schools are closing and the universities are closing. Who's to say that's not going to be the case in Ireland?
They're considering, I think we said, I just see a note here, they are considering closing all schools and colleges at this point. Now, Simon Harris said on the news at one that the government, at this point, they're still open to everything, but at this point in time, they're not going to stop flights from northern Italy coming into this country at the weekend. Does that worry you that so many people from the infected region might continue on with their trip to Ireland even though the match has been called off, Hazel?
Completely. Yeah. And I think that's what happened in Italy. It was too slow for them to take action. And now they have this huge amount of people that have it and it's spreading fast. Yeah, they cannot control it at this stage. So it's more reactive rather than being proactive.
Yes, I agree. Can I just say, I know this might sound a bit trivial, but before I took this phone call, I was in Tesco, and when I was at the checkout packing my shopping, I asked the assistant, when are they going to put some, you know, gels, maybe sanitation gels, where you use the little card machine. And she said, well, oh, no, no, we're not. We're going on the instructions, the guidelines from the HSE. And they said there's no need for that at all. We were told to just wipe down the counter every half hour or so.
Yeah,
and I think that's, you know, I think there's lots of little things
but where,
that we can do. But what I phoned for initially, and I'm sorry if I'm just, you know, keep on repeating myself here, but I think sending in one child that has just come back from a red alert area and telling them to go back to school straight away without any duration of time to see could he possibly, God forbid, be carrying this virus.
I understand.
I think that is so irresponsible.
But let's say there are people now sitting into their car in Dublin Airport, having been in Italy. I'm being very, this is hyperbole here, but just for, or people that have arrived here from an infected area and they're wondering what should they do. So they go online and they look at the HSE guidelines and they say, okay, well, you know, I just have to watch out for any of these symptoms and I just have to keep my washing my hands and so on and continue on regardless. Because there is a set of guidelines there, what to do and what symptoms to look out for. But then they switch on the radio and they hear ordinary members of the public saying, no, go into self-isolation. Who are they to believe?
I think they should cop on and use their cop on. And it doesn't take a rocket science to know that if you've just come from a really dangerous area, that you could potentially be carrying this now.
Mm.
And I think
we
all have to start acting responsibly ourselves. And maybe we can't do any huge things, but we can do a lot of small things.
Sure.
And we have to come together and join forces as a country and unite to get this, keep this under control and to try and prevent it. Our strength is in preventing it.
Well, the fact
that's where our strength lies.
Yeah,
it won't be in resolving it. Once if it hits and it spreads, our hospitals can't cope.
Mm.
We have to put everything we have into prevention.
Yeah, and a great fact, like we are an island nation, the only way really or mainly to get here is, well, obviously you can come by ferry, but by flying in here, we're not in Schengen or anything like that. So it's one advantage that we're this island nation. You hate comparing animals with humans, but go back to foot and mouth, and that was we ring fenced the country more or less in that regard, and hadn't got as big a problem as Scotland, England, and Wales at that on that occasion. And the fact that we're not a very densely populated country either. You know, 4.5 million or whatever throughout the country. There's more in several cities in the UK, for example. Matt McKiernan's on the line. Hello, Matt. Good afternoon to you. You're listening to our contributors. Your point.
My point is I've got no immune system at all because I got bone cancer.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Now, I've been told, I've just come back, I'm 74 years of age. I've just come back from a hospital this morning and seen a specialist, and he was saying that stress and emotional stress does cause it in it. So I keep a very calm approach with the family. I've got a very large family here outside of Birmingham, and I keep it to a low profile. So I had no problem coming from the hospital. I kept quite calm, and everyone up there was quite calm. And the hysteria that's been caused, mentioning no names, of that school in Ireland. It's absolutely scandalous.
Well, you're in the UK, and I'm loath to use the word hysteria. Concerned parents naturally are concerned, and people are concerned about elderly parents as well, and all of this. But in the UK, there's 85 cases now. What's the general mood and talk over there, Matt? About
People are going about the business like I did in the hospital this morning.
Yeah.
And people are going about as if having their coffee, as the sausage rolls and so forth and eating. And it's quite calm. They're quite sensible about it. And there's hand washing and so forth. There's plenty of dispensers around the place. And people are availing of those.
And is the advice over there, as far as you're aware, Matt, if anybody has returned, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have returned to the UK from Northern Italy, what's the advice, or are you listening to the radio shows or TV or news, right? What's the advice over there to people coming back?
Like him or hate him or love him or whatever, Boris Johnson said he was shaking hands with everyone he met. And they got Prince William and so forth over in Ireland, and so I bet he's shaking hands with folk and so forth. Now, this is the approach to take, I think. We're a very mature nation, hopefully, and we're getting more mature. We don't have to condone this hysteria going into the school. I will be going up to, there was a governor of the school, a large, what do you call them, comprehensive. And I'll be going up to the school, and I had a health problem because my immune system, as I say, I've got none. But I take some tablets to help me, antibiotics and antiviral tablets.
And you're over there, how long are you in the UK for, Matt?
Oh, I've been in the UK for 54 years.
Oh, God, from your 20 years of age?
18.
And where are you originally from, these parts?
I'm originally from Cavan, and I went to school in Galway and Tullamore.
Right. And what did you go to England to do? What did you work at over there?
I'm at the moment, I worked in telecommunications for 15 years, and then I studied and got into heavy engineering, qualified as an electrical engineer.
Right.
And I was in control of a large transformer factory in Stafford, actually,
and
for about 5 years
and nights. And you still keep in touch with the old sod, and you haven't lost the Cavan lilt either?
Oh, no.
All right. Well, All right. Well, Matt, thanks for contacting us, and do mind yourself. As you said, you are recovering at the moment, but do mind yourself in these tough times. I know you're trying to be sensible and all that, but you know you are in that vulnerable category, and the general advice is really to try and not mix, in large crowds at this point, and just look after yourself. And as we said, and as you say in your call here, the advice is to wash hands and just stay away from potential infection as best you possibly can. And that's easier said than done. Matt McKiernan, thank you very much for contacting us from the UK.
Thank you for calling.
You certainly, there's no doubt.
Thank
I mean,
you for
I,
having me.
You're
I
welcome.
Really appreciate you.
No problem. And there's, you know, we have to, we have to tease these issues out and try and get all and put forward the medical advice against the views of the public as well. But listen, thank you, and hopefully everything will work out, and the best of luck to that young lad down there as well. It's certainly, I hope he gets all the support and love that is required down there. Thanks to all our other callers. Back with more after this.